We've been going through invitations in the Bible. It started out with Genesis and Genesis chapter 7, come into the ark. It continued in Exodus, where Moses said, come with us. It continues when Isaiah basically proclaimed to a sinful nation, come and get cleansed. It's a promise of God that says, come and be satisfied. Hosea says, come and let us return to the Lord in chapter 6. Then there is come and find rest. There's come and follow me. Last week it was come and see. This morning, it's come and be safe. It's come and be safe. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 6, verses 35 through 41. John chapter 6, verses 35 through 41. Come and be safe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word. We thank you for the truthfulness of it. Lord, we thank you for the healing power of your blood. Father, for the fact that you're alive today. Lord, we just ask, help us, Lord, to be your servants. Help us, Lord, to be attentive today. Help your Holy Spirit to have full reign today as we open your word, we study it. Lord, bind Satan on our behalf. Father, let your word not come back void, but let it do the purpose that it's intended to do today, Lord, and change us. Help us, Lord, not leave here the same way we came in. Help us, Lord, be more like you. Help us, Lord, to come and find safety in you. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 6, verses 35 through 41, it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have also seen me, and what? Believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's the invitation in this passage. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You know, we hear things and we just don't believe it at times. The Jews are seeing all these things that Christ does. Now he's hearing this message and they're not catching it. Folks, I want you to get this message this morning. I need you to understand that God came for you to come to him and be safe. See, we all seek safety. When it's storming outside, you seek shelter. When you have some sort of financial crisis, you seek some sort of financial security. When you have a sickness, you want to be safe and get off of that sickness. There's all sorts of things. When there's snakes outside the door, you want to close the door and be safe inside. We all seek safety. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8 says this, I will both lay me down and peace and sleep. A couple of weeks ago, we preached out of Psalm 127, 2, where it says, he gives his beloved sleep. It's vain for you to sit up late at night and worry about things. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. It says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Later on, the psalmist says, some trust in princes and some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but safety is of the Lord. See, to come and find true safety, you need to find Christ. To find true safety, you need to abide in Christ. This is a promise that we can depend on. And the key verse in this was verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It is a promise in which we can seek and get assurance. Because we know that all promises of God are what? Yea. And amen. To the glory of God and the Father. It's one in which we can feel secure. When you know you can depend on something, when you know you can trust on something, when you know that something is keeping you secure and safe, you feel confident there. You feel at rest there. You feel at peace there. You can sleep there. You know that nothing's going to happen because the safety's got you. Folks, God is our safety. It's a safety, it's a promise that we can depend on. This promise stems from an invitation. He says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." We need to just come to Jesus. And we need to understand that he will not cast us out. So why believing this promise should bring a sense of safety? Why should I care about this? Well, first of all, we need to come to Jesus. And to come to Jesus is to receive him. It says here in our passage, it says, "Him that cometh to me." Now, if you know the context of this, Jesus, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, has fed the 5,000. And then that night, he took shipping and went across the sea. The next morning, everybody comes out to where there was food. And he wasn't there. So they got in ships and they got on the shore and they walked over and they found Jesus and said, "Why are you over here? Why are you over here?" See, people are coming to Jesus. They're coming to Jesus for the wrong thing. Jesus calls them out and says, "You came to me because you want food. You want a physical satisfaction here." And Jesus goes on and says, "There's bigger issues here. There's a spiritual food that you need." And then they say, "Well, we want to do it ourselves." It says, "Show us how we could do these works of God that you're doing so we do it ourselves and feed ourselves." That's wrong too. Don't come to Jesus to get power to consume it on your own lust. Come to Jesus because you need him. Come to Jesus to find safety. Come to Jesus because you see that he's the only one that can do that. And then Jesus comes on and he says, "The Father in heaven gave you manna." When you didn't know what it was, you were hungry, he saw you had a need, and he provided for it. And then we see, he goes and he says, "I am the bread of life. I am that one that comes down from heaven," equating himself to manna. And it blows our minds. See, we need to come to Jesus for the right reason. You know, the Bible does say this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you." But you need to first seek the kingdom of God. You can't seek the kingdom of God unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ unless you come to him. You know, there is nothing complicated about the invitation that Christ gives to the crowd this day. He basically says, "Come to me." He says nothing about religious ceremony. You don't have to go to class. You don't have to go and get baptized. You don't have to do a sacrament. You have to get confirmed. That's man's way of doing it. Jesus says, "Come to me. And he that comes to me on the right terms, I'll no wise cast out." He says, "Come to me." There's nothing in here about doing good works. Now, you do good works because you did come to Jesus. But not to get to him. They were only concerned about getting fed. They were concerned about being able to duplicate what Jesus said. So they wouldn't have to work anymore. Just boom, there's food. And he said, no. It's not about good works. Just come to me. There's nothing about giving money. There's nothing about playing a penance. There's nothing about providing philanthropic things. Just come to Jesus. All those things will happen because you did come to him.
Amen.
Not to earn his favor. See, receiving Christ is simply placing faith in him. This morning in youth class, we went through Matthew 10 about commissioning his disciples. And he sends them out with no gold, sends them out with no extra clothes, sends out with no food, sends out with no extra shoes, and he says, all you need to do is just do where I tell you, go where I send you to, and preach what I tell you to preach. And I give you power to do all these things. He says, you go in the city and you find a house that's worthy, they're going to provide for that. See, we get it all backwards. Let's come to Jesus first, and then let's see Jesus provide for our life. He says, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never what? Hunger. He that comes to me shall never what? Thirst. Not talking about physical thirst. Talking about spiritual thirst. See, receiving Christ is placing faith in Him. We become aware of our sinful condition. Many years ago, I was witnessing to this older man whose wife was coming to our church. And I was leading him, I was starting the gospel presentation, and I said that we're all sinners. And the Bible does say that. We've, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. He said, I never sinned. I said, really? You never taught a lie? Never told a lie? Nope. I said, I think you just did. So you never did anything wrong? Nope. That God wouldn't send me to hell because I'm a good person. Really? Really? And then I showed him 1 John 1:10. And it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make God a liar. And his word is not in us. Well, eventually we convinced that he was a sinner and he needed salvation. He got saved that night. Amen. But there's a lot of people who say, I don't need Christ. You know, the Sadducees and Pharisees, the religious leaders, said, we don't need you. And what did Christ say? He said, those that are whole have no need of a physician, but those that are sick. See, they were self-righteous. A self-righteous person won't receive Christ because they won't place their faith in Him. See, we need to become aware of our sinful condition. Every one of us in here is a sinner. Every one of you. That's not me. Yes, it is. Every one of us. And the issue is that safety is something that we see a need for. We're running away from it. We want protection from it. Folks, we need to get safety from sin. There's power in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So receiving Christ is placing faith in Him. But first of all, you need to know that you need Him. Yes. See, it says here in verse 41 of our passage, it says the Jews murmured. They didn't believe it. They didn't think they needed Him. They didn't think they needed Him. Secondly, understand that we cannot save ourselves. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, it says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. It says in Romans chapter 3, it says, none that doeth good, no, not one. And what we think is our good stuff is really bad in God's eyes. We talked about this from God's standard of what good is. It's not good enough. It's how God says it's good. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, we cannot save ourselves. Receiving Christ is placing trust, faith in Him, and we need to stop trying to earn favor with God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. See, here's the problem that the Jews had. They thought because they were God's chosen people that they were okay. God gave them in the wilderness when He brought them out from bondage in Egypt. He told them in Deuteronomy chapter 9, He says, look. He says, I want to send you to this land. And don't think that you get this promised land because of your goodness. You're a stiff-necked people. You get this promised land because of my grace. You get this promised land because I promised it to you. You get this promised land because of a covenant that I laid before you. You don't have any special position here. But they thought so. When John the Baptist was out preaching in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, basically John's preaching this message. He says, you bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Obviously, what you're doing is not good enough. And the Pharisees said, well, what do we have to do? And the Roman soldiers, what do we have to do? And everybody said, what do we have to do? He says, look, you need to come to God. You need to look for the one who's coming after me. You need to look for the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world. And what? And John cut them off before they started saying, he says, you're going to say, well, we're Abraham's seed here. And because we have this special place, we don't need this. I said, yes, you do. And Jesus comes on and says the exact same message. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. And just drove them nuts. See, the Jews saw that their special position as being God's chosen people, that they didn't need him. They need him even more. But there are some people today saying, living in America, that you're going to heaven. Uh-uh. Some people think because of the color of your skin, you're going to heaven. Nuh-uh. Some people think because of your heritage, you're going to heaven. Nuh-uh. God owes you nothing. We owe him everything.
That's right.
We owe him everything. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then what does Christ say? He says, depart from ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You thought you were doing the right thing. You didn't realize your sinful state. You didn't realize that your works can't save you. You didn't realize that you can't earn favor with God. You don't deserve anything. You deserve death and hell.
That's right.
For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I can't save you. God does. You need to come to Him. What is the invitation today? He says here. He says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you come to Christ for salvation? Do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? Is that something you say you're still working on? If you say you're still working on, you're not going. It's by grace.
Amen.
It's by grace. Wednesday night, we covered the first 14 verses in John. And in verse 12, it says this, but as many as what? Received him. To them gave he power to become the what? Sons or the children of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. Folks, it's simply like this. I'm a sinner. I'm not getting to heaven. I don't deserve heaven. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know he lived a perfect life. I know he died on the cross. I know he was buried for 3 days. I know that he rose again. And he sits on the throne of heaven offering forgiveness and salvation. If I just ask for it. But you got to come to him. He says, he that come to me, he will no wise cast out. If you've never done that, you need to do that today. You may not get another chance.
Amen.
See, coming to Jesus is to receive him as who he is, not what you want. Unless it's salvation. Unless it's salvation. So, to come to Jesus is to receive him. To come to Jesus is to be received by him. He says, I will in no way wise cast out. So there's no way I'm going to throw you away. There's no way I'm going to shut the door on you. There's no way I'm going to put the hand and talk to the hand. I'm not going to do any of that. See, those who come will find Christ arms open wide to receive him. Remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke. The prodigal son goes away, comes back, and his father opens his arms and meets and greets him. We sing a song. The Savior is waiting. We sing it for invitation. And it says, if you take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his what? Arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart, he'll abide. See, anyone who receives Jesus will be received by him.
Yes, amen.
I will in no wise cast out. This is a two-way meeting. It's a two-way meeting. See, first of all, a seeking sinner meets a seeking Savior. In Psalm chapter 53, verse 2, it says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. Not the children of God, the children of men. It says, to see if there were any that what? Did understand. That did what?
Seek God.
And see, what we need to do is we need to seek God. Are you seeking God this morning? Is this the reason you came to church? Amen. If you came here for some other reason, wrong. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come, not will come, he is come, to seek and to save that which was lost. See, to find Jesus, you need to be seeking. You need to be seeking him. Seek him while he may be what? Found. Come to him while he is near. Cornelius was, and Peter was sent. The Ethiopian eunuch was, and Philip was sent. The Philippian jailer understood when there was great acts of God going on around, and earthquakes and everything else, the prisoners, and God, he said, there's something different here. He said, what? And his question was, why are you still here? Are you still here? He says, what must I do to be what? Saved. See, a seeking sinner meets a seeking Savior. That's a two-way meeting. And then the other thing is that a receiving sinner meets a receiving Savior. He in no ways will cast us out. The moment we meet, we become the children of God. We just shared what 1 John 1:12 says. But as many as what? Received them. To him gave he the power to become the what? Sons of God. Even to them who what? Believe on his name. We become heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Now, not only do we get safety, there's other things attached to it. There's fringe benefits. The biggest one is we get heaven. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We will be never separated from his love. Later on in Romans chapter 8, Paul's writing to them, and he comes to this conclusion. See, Paul, or Saul on the Damascus Road, was seeking to cause the church trouble. But God was seeking him. He comes down in great light. And Christ tells Paul, he says, why are you doing this, basically? Turns him blind and says, now you need to go seek this guy by the name of Ananias. He'll tell you what to do. And he gets saved. And now he writes this in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded. He's convinced. You know, when you go and you're in a thunderstorm, you don't go under a cardboard box. Not when there's 70 mile an hour winds there. That box won't last. You go to some place that will stand the storms of time. That no one can take you away from. That will be able to withstand the problem that you're facing. God can do that. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be what? Able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. See, to come to Jesus is to receive him. To come to Jesus is to be received by him. And to come to Jesus is to receive eternal life from him. See, this is the promise from God in verse 37. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is what? In his Son. In John chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That's security, folks.
Amen.
"For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not," what? "Should not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life."
Amen.
See, in verses 38 through 40, this promise is sealed. In verse 38, it says that Christ came to do the Father's will. He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Peter writes, he says that Christ redeems us with his own blood, as of the precious blood of a lamb that was spotless from the what? The foundations of the world. As we went through 1 John, we found out that Jesus is the beginning. He is the beginning. So, but when he came down to earth, he came down as man, the God-man, to do his Father's will. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." In verse 39, you see that the Father wills that not one believer be lost. It says, "And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Some people trust in things, and we find out that those things don't work. God never gives up on us. We should never give up on God.
Amen.
We should never give up on God. He says this, he says, "Lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." The Father wills that all believers be resurrected. In verse 39, it says, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but at the but should raise it up again at the" what? "The last day." You know, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. For believers, that's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. For the believers, we have the security of the rapture. We have the security of being resurrected and being united with Christ forever in a incorruptible body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 52, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In 1 Thessalonians says, "And we that which are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds and will ever be with the Lord." What a promise.
Amen.
You know, promises allow us to go through trouble. Even though there's discouraging times, even though there's troublesome times, we still have the promise. We have the promise of eternal life, and no one can take that away from you. No one can take that away from you. The Father wills that all believers have everlasting life. Verse 40 says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Today we've seen Jesus. We've seen his word. We've heard the message. "He that comes unto me, I will no wise cast out." We see the need for safety. We can find that safety in Christ alone. Do you know him as your Savior? If you do, great. If not, today would be the day of your salvation. If you just come and we'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. It's a simple prayer of forgiveness and asking God to save you. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
For us as Christians, have we gotten out from the safety of God and wandered away? We need to come back to his shelter. We need to be sheltered safe in the arms of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Do not delay coming to receive Jesus. Do it today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We ask that you just be with us time of invitation. Father, whatever decisions we need to make, Lord, help us to make them, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I pray that if someone is here, does not know you, someone is listening on the internet, does not know you, Father, just to understand that they need you. And Father, they would ask you to forgive their sins. Believe what you did on the cross was for them. Believe that you rose again from the dead and ask you to save them. Lord, we thank you for the promise of coming to you, Lord, and you not throwing us away. Lord, we just ask that you just be with us time and help us, Lord, to follow you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.